Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
It's about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl on the bot. It's 221-1402. Give us a call here. Hey, it's a beautiful Monday morning, June 15th, and I got the Harley out. And I'm joined, of course, by our producer, the effervescent Frosty.
Good morning.
Are you effervescent today?
I can be.
Well, you didn't know you're effervescent.
Mm-mm.
Okay. No, you will be.
All sounds right. Like Arnold. Effervescent.
Okay, and of course, speaking of bubbly, my soulmate.
Well, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm great. Oh, there's several things that I'd like to open the show with. First of all, we've got our studio filled with some wonderful friends and writers who were in this great embodiment of people that went to Arlington with the Missing in America Project. But before we get to them, I want to share with you that I went to San Francisco this weekend, joined my best girlfriend. And, of course, when I came back, people were saying, oh, what was San Francisco like? Well, besides the fact that there were 50 nude cyclists.
Bicyclists,
whatever you
50,
want to call them. 50. There were 50. I mean, who was counting, but there were several nude bicyclists. As we were at the end of the trolley car over by the waterfront down there by Ghirardelli Square, and the turnabout happened, all of a sudden the crowd, it took us an hour to get a ride on the trolley car back to Union Square. But I could hear this rustle in the crowd, and I looked down and across the water front walkway. There were all of these naked butts. And then I looked a little closer and realized they weren't wearing G-strings. This was the real thing. They were naked. And then they paraded by, and then they went down the walkway, and there was a guy on, I was about 100 yards away. I didn't want to gawk too much, but I couldn't believe it. People with their kids and their families, and I thought, well, I guess there was a lesson in anatomy.
Now, this guy was on this was on roller skates.
One of them rollerblades. One guy on rollerblades, every size and shape, as far as bodies are concerned. And then we went to go see the musical Wicked, which is everything and beyond what you've heard. And people, I tell you, it's a wonderful musical that started and originated in San Francisco, went to Broadway, was sold out on Broadway for at least a year and a half to 2 years, and now is back in San Francisco. And it that's why we went. We had a good girlfriend weekend. I missed Reading. I wish that they... Wish you all could, have been inspired by either the nude cyclist or the show Wicked. But there was the weekend, and welcome back, and it's great to be back in the home state, in the North State, where people are sane.
Nude cyclist, and she said the thing was that nobody really looked or anything, and
they applauded.
They applauded as they went by. Frankly, having ridden on some of the. Some of the 10 speeds with the seats they have there, I would imagine it could be a little painful. And as far as the guy rollerblading by naked, it's, you wonder why people look at.
They had helmets on.
Okay, you're right. They had helmets on. But, you got to wonder about, why people think that San Francisco's screwed up. You just got to think, well, what's wrong with San Francisco? Oh, nothing if you like to watch naked guys. Well, personally, the idea of watching naked guys on bicycles doesn't, do that much for me either. So, I don't know. But
of all weights, of all shapes.
Everything. Okay, look, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this great mission that ran across the United States that started right here in Reading, ended up in Arlington, and ended up and the journey that took them across. And I tell you what a story this is. And it's a group of people from our city, from our little North State here, that has caught the imagination of the nation so much so that there's some really big things are going to happen. But we're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Linda and Carl Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, finest tobacco emporium in the West. Espresso Joe's gives you the coffee you want, all different kinds, gives those shots of espresso in there. You can buy wine, beer, soft drinks, You name it, you can buy it there at Tobacco and Brew. And Joe and Shelley are great Americans who have supported us in so many ways that, you know, let's support them. Okay, our guests today are Fred Salante from the Missing America Project, Roger, his road captain, who took him across the United States, and Dave the Indian, who rode the Long Rider, which we'll talk about. I mean, this is a piece of equipment that, unless you've seen it, you'll never believe it.
It's out in front of the studio now.
And it's out in front of the studio, but we've got, I think, photos are going to be on the line, too. So, good morning, gentlemen. Fred?
Good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
So, let me give everybody a brief one. The Missing America Project, started by Fred, was to, they found that there were veterans who had never been claimed. They were in mortuaries, they were in wherever they were at, funeral homes. Fred saw that, said, this is wrong. And so what he did was he'd go through the Department of Defense, or the Veterans Affairs, find out that they had an honorable discharge, find out they truly were veterans, and then he would, at his own expense, take them to the veteran cemeteries and have them interred. Well, this started by Fred, but this thing has gone nationwide. Now, I just want to cut it real. I mean, this was a huge endeavor. And then this year, they decided to take the remains of three of our heroes, two Silver Star winners and a Medal of Honor recipient, from Reading all the way to Arlington. Fred.
Well, I think the secret is that most of us have heard the background that you just reiterated, so we won't do that. I'd like to stick that we talk about the trip because, first of all, thanks to the community for all that they did to support us and get us there. And we are putting together pictures and other things that we will have a open presentation for the public so that we're able to let everybody come and hear people talk personally and see photos and see. And this will take probably about 3 weeks, but we'll put an ad in the paper and have you announce on the radio the day we do this. But we'll get a place with a big full screen, and everybody can then see in person what we did and ask questions. I think the secret is that we put this together because we were requested by family of Callahan that they had spent 13 years trying to get this gentleman in Arlington, and that was his desire, and they came to me for help. And because of the work we had done, we were able to make that happen. But I think the secret that it opened our eyes to, and you'll hear more from Dave and from Roger, as we started this trip, even as close as the going away dinner and luncheon here in Reading, the number of people, the people that were there to support us from all walks of life and school children, just made us proud. And we drove down the road, and as we got down by Orland, all of a sudden there was the overpass lined with kids and flags, and that just started it. This whole thing started with just an aura of we're doing the right thing. And we went about a mile further, and there was a single veteran south of Orland standing on the side all by himself with a flag and saluting us going by. And that was the tenor of what happened.
I tell you what, that one scene just, I mean, it tore us up. I mean, because, you know, we talked about it the next day on it. And I just, you know, it was, the whole thing was like that in Orland with the people over that. And, I mean, it's, unless you were there, it's hard to understand the emotions that just wrung out of everybody. So, anyway, go on.
And then, of course, the next morning, that night we had an event at Arco Arena that was nice. The next day, the state senate presented us a proclamation and made that day Missing in America Day and honors at Arlington Day. The rest of the group had already taken off to go to Elko. And so I then tried to catch up to them, and they were having a parade, and I missed it. But as I got to Elko racing madly across the desert, I seen the last police car with the end of the parade turn in. And Roger and Indian will tell you what happened, but the town of Elko was amazing. And again, the first day out, an amazing experience for everybody. Look, we suffered after Elko, rain, sleet, hail, I don't care what we had, but everything was bearable. All of a sudden, troubles, pains, anything went away. We hit Kentucky, 100 police cars, 9 motor cops, a helicopter. We get to Washington, D.C., and here we are at rush hour traffic, and we hit the Virginia border, and they block five lanes of freeway. Five lanes. The whole road was stopped except for us. And we're not any royalty. We're little guys from Redding, California, with 300-400 bikes.
Yeah. No, you were warriors paying homage to other warriors. We're going to have to take a break here. When we come back, we've got Patrick Jones, our vice mayor, is on the line, and he's at the Capitol steps in Sacramento where there's a protest going on right there. We're going to talk to Patrick a little bit, and then, of course, we want to finish this this hour with our heroes here. This is Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. You know, we have our people here from the Missing America Project, and but we've got something that's going on in Sacramento on the Capitol steps. Our Vice Mayor Patrick Jones is down there. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Hey, tell us what's going on down there. Tell us about the protest.
Well, today I'm here with a group I belong to. I'm a life member of Gun Owners of California, and we're assembling here right now as we speak on the steps of the Capitol here in Sacramento. And we're protesting essentially quite a few of the different laws that are about to take place this year. Of course, they're being voted on by the Assembly and then the Senate. And today we're here specifically on a particular bill from De Leon, and that's going to be very restrictive for us and our ammunition and cause some major changes. And so we're here with quite a few people, and they're gathering as we speak.
Well, you know, from what I understand of this, another assault on our individual freedoms here is that they want to make sure is that, you know, they want to make it as hard as they can for us to not only just buy ammunition, but they want to restrict our ability to buy it online to have it sent here, at competitive prices, but also, even to be able to hand out ammunition that, you know, from me to my buddy here, Indian Dave. I can't give more than 50 rounds to him if, say, we're out shooting without becoming a felon.
Well, it's exactly true, and it's why we're here today, is because this is not unlike what's happening with many other bills, and it's just simply taking another piece of the pie away, which is ultimately going to have a devastating effect here in California.
Well, you know, I'm thinking of the fact is if they pass this law, then I'm going to get in front of the chief of police here in Redding, and I'm going to bring another veteran out here who spent his life defending this country, and I'm going to hand him 51 rounds of ammunition. You know, arrest me and prosecute me.
Well, we appreciate you, Carl, having us on the air today and letting people know that Gun Owners of California are here, and we're trying to make a statement and a stand. We're essentially saying enough is enough, and we appreciate you having us on the air today.
Well, you know what? It's an assault on freedom, and whether it's the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, or any of our constitutionally given rights.
Patrick,
absolutely.
Patrick, call in tomorrow too, and let our listeners know what happened today, about how many people did assemble, and what you heard amongst the crowd.
I will. I definitely will. I appreciate that.
Now, are you all going to be able to talk to De Leon and any of our other representatives there? I mean, is Nielsen coming out, Anastad?
Yes, as soon as the protests essentially on the steps here are over, then a few of us are going to be invited in. I'm not sure who they're asking in, but we are going to try to convince some of our assemblymen and senators that there's a better way, that this will not control criminal behavior, and there's a better way.
Absolutely
not. Hopefully I'll be one of those, but we'll find out later.
And the only people that pay attention to these stupid rules are the law-abiding citizens. But you know what? You're making me into a criminal. You know, don't make me into a criminal. Don't make a law so stupid that I won't use it because it's stupid, and it is such an affront to me. You know, that would be what I'd say.
This bill, along with many other bills and laws, are essentially directed at the law-abiding person, and they have no effect on crime, and that's what's so upsetting. And again, that's why we're here today.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, thank you so much for your phone call. Let us know tomorrow what happened, will you?
All right. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Linda.
You bet. Okay. You know, just things like that. You know, it's what you all did going across the United States, our veterans, and are fighting for our freedoms. And then while you're doing this, you got people behind your back who've never done a damn thing in their lives, just, you know, trying to snatch it away. And I'm not going to get into the pocket knife thing. Not till later on this week. But let's go back to Elko. You know, this great time in Elko, and Roger the Road Captain, tell us about it.
Well, first off, I'd just like to say that when Fred asked me to lead this ride across the nation, I don't think I had any idea how big and emotional it was really going to be. It just really, I think it took everybody by surprise. I mean, maybe even Fred. It just took everybody just rolling into towns and having people's arms open. Small towns like Elko are really the heartland of what America's about. And we rolled into Carlin, and there was somebody said that there was 200 people, about 150 motorcycles waiting for us, and then they escorted us into Elko. When we got into Elko, the streets, the entire main street was lined on both sides with kids, little girls covering their hearts, and it was just very, very emotional. And I
heard that almost the whole town, it seemed like, turned out for this thing.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, some cop told me there was 10 to 15,000 people on the sidewalks, and I believe it. It was amazing. They actually stopped. They didn't ask them, but they stopped a Little League game, and these little girls are out there covering their hearts, standing at attention, lined up on first and third baselines.
Oh my God!
During our ceremony, I mean, that would never happen in a.
No.
You know, but.
You know, everybody in here is tearing up right now.
Yeah.
By the way, these are some tough guys, and let me tell you, I mean, they've been through the ringer. But when they're talking, you know, when you hear them talking, every one of them is touched by this, and so am I. And Linda's over there bawling. So, hey, look, we've got to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk some more about going across country, some of the other things you saw that from our heartland, and we're also going to talk about the Long Rider, Carlin Abbott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. We were just showing everybody here our new way of skiing. Ski United. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Long Rider here because, you know what, this one vehicle probably had as much attention as anything else that happened in the on the ride across. Am I right?
It also carried the ashes.
And it also carried the remains of our warriors.
Remains, yes.
We had a special
oak box built by Larry Payson and John Annan, who are friends of mine, and Fred saw the Long Rider. I got this thing from a guy in Sacramento.
Now we're talking about a trike, a motorcycle trike. But
it's hard to describe. But the fellow in Sacramento, it was on sale. It was on the web for sale, and I called him about it and talked to him, and he said, what are you going to do with it? And I told him what I was doing, and he said, you can't buy it. And I said, what? And he said, no. He said, I'm going to give it to you.
Now, this is, it's a trike, but the engine is a...
It's a Toyota 100, T100 2.7 running gear. The whole running gear
right.
is under the trike. And these guys had a welding party and put this thing together, but... He said, just make sure it's safe, take the metal off and make sure it's safe. And so we did. And then Fred heard some rumors that I got this new machine and came by to make sure that it was going on the trip. And he took one look at it and he said, yeah, that'll do. So then we made this box up to put on the back, the urn box. And it was just a beautiful piece of work by these fellows. They put more than... I can't count the hours they put in it, but they didn't charge us anything for labor, mm-hmm. just for the product, for the wood product. And then Machine World Plastics gave us the plastics for the front of it. And it was just a great piece of art that we put on the machine and then took it all the way across country.
Now this machine is a trike that's approximately how long is it?
It's 15 foot 6 inches long.
15 feet 6 inches long. It's got it's painted white and on it. Tell us what's on the on Long Rider.
Well, I had a buffalo front on the front of my other bike, so I decided to put that on the Long Rider, and I couldn't see little kids in front of me, so I put a little camera on there so I could see them, and then we put I had my coyote helmet I put on the hood, and then on the back we had a bracket with a whoopee light. And it was kind of right over the fellows in the back of the box. And so Fred blessed me with a bear that we could put on the top of that. So he guarded the guys all the way back.
So, okay, so we had the buffalo hide and the head with the horns in the front. And then I know there's a scorpion on there and the coyote. And then everybody signed it.
There's some knickknacks on there. I got people to sign it. I needed more gas than a motorcycle, so I came up with this idea of, you know, getting a few bucks to sign it, and I donate some to the cause, to MIAP, and use the rest for gas. And And all the way across country, we started the signatures. And then I think probably in Elko or maybe Sacramento, I just said, to heck with it. Just people who want to sign it can sign
it. Well, you know, they started in Redding because we didn't know we were supposed to pick it to give you money. We just signed it. So it started in Redding. Okay.
Okay, so you owe me money.
Okay.
But it was a great ride. It was a lot of fun, and the thing was the center of attention. Are we on?
No, we're on.
And people would come to see what the machine was, and then we'd tell them what we were doing, and it was just a phenomenal thing.
Now, where can the Redding citizens see the Long Rider? Is there going to be a spot, you know, when you have this whole thing, is you can put the Long Rider there so they can see it? I mean, if you watch it, if you're driving around town because the Indian rides it around town, I mean, you can't miss it. I mean, it's like, holy crap, you know, something pulls up, you know, a buffalo pulls up along next to you. So anyway, is there going to be a place where people can see it?
Well, I think when we do the big presentation, we'll have it available for everybody to come see it. So it'll
I think it's
be
a great idea.
But, you know, we have rumors that the Smithsonian wants to place this thing in historical view because it's across every newspaper, across every TV station in the nation. And we eventually had to make Dave the ambassador of goodwill because we couldn't stop for gas, food, that he didn't draw a crowd. And I'm talking in the middle of Arkansas and the Ozark Mountains to the cities. And so everybody accumulated, and we had to do beep horns and do stuff to get Dave to be quiet so we could move on the road. Otherwise, we couldn't progress forward.
We've got a photo of it. We're going to try and get it on our website, Free Fire Radio, too. But, you know, good. You know, when you get ready to have this thing, Fred, you know, when you show everybody what went on, everybody does need to see this. And it could be in the Smithsonian.
And when we come back, we want to talk to the road captain, Roger, too, because to rally this many bikers together, you know, we want to hear from you and have you share some of your experiences of what it was to blow that horn three times to say, all right, guys, we're on the road. Let's go.
Well, you know, it must have been like herding cats out there, I imagine, because you were getting not only did I have, you know, first of all, bikers, anyway, are somewhat of an independent group. I don't care who they were before or what they are now. I mean, they could be the most repressed people in their jobs, the most anal. But once they get on a motorcycle, it's like, oh, okay, that's it. You know, I am my own man or my own woman. And then it's kind of like trying to keep everybody in a line or even just try to keep everybody, okay, what do you say we all leave now? You know, that's like saying, yeah, right, I'll go when I want to. But Roger had to take care of that. So we're going to talk about that one too. Okay, so Dave, besides, you know, on this, what was the biggest thrill that you had going across, or the biggest? I guess I should say the most emotional moment for you.
There wasn't one particular moment. You know, Fred talked about this program before we started, and he'd tear up and stuff. And I go, oh man, what a big crybaby. From Redding on, when we saw the people that turned out in Redding. From there all the way to Arlington, and then actually on the way back, I had to have towels on my handlebars because I couldn't contain it. I mean, it was just, and it wasn't for the rain; it was for what was coming out of me. It was just a spectacular thing. It was a joyous thing in my life that an honorable that I will never I'll cherish the rest of my life, and it's something that'll probably never happen again in my lifetime.
So, well, you know what wonderful. This may, you know, I think you're absolutely right. I think this was one of those one of a kind, one of those moments, one of those moments in time that will never be recaptured. You'll never be able to go back, and nobody will ever be able to do it again. They'll never be able to recapture that.
Or take it away from you.
Or take it away from you. That's the other thing. Right. Okay. Hey, look, this is Carl and the Bot. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We got a couple people on the line here, and we're going to talk about, of course, the rest of the project, because something big has come up last Friday that we really want to make sure we talk about. But also, it's open line. We're going to talk about gun control, it looks like, here. So, Carl, Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk, 1400 KQMS. George, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Fine.
Hey, on these guys riding those bikes and everything, or you, I guess you were involved too. I know the feeling. We brought back on the USS Manchester, we brought back the first 50 unknown American dead out of Korea. So, and I know how it feels.
Well, you know, really appreciate you. We value and we honor your service, George, and thanks a lot for what you've done.
You bet. Can I say one more thing about this REU thing? They won't allow any overhead power in Redding, but they'll allow overhead power in the county and every city going south.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't understand that. Well, Carl.
Yeah, we're going to have Paul Huser on tomorrow. So, Martin, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Yeah, I'll keep it quick. I just wanted to get the word out to the community that the committee has done a ton of work on this REU thing.
Right.
And I would just like to get the word out for everybody to show up and show their support.
And we were going to talk about that tonight at 5:15 at the City Council Chambers.
Right.
They're going to discuss the committee's report. And the committee has come out with a lot of things, including changing the way that the late fees are done, helping people that are in problems, giving people a break. In other words, treating the REU customers as people and not just numbers.
Yeah, not numbers and not just a way to make money.
Right. Now, tomorrow, Paul Huser is going to be on. He was going to talk about Tank, but I got a feeling we'll probably talk a little bit about this, too.
Good. That would be nice.
Okay. And we're going to have Gary Cadd and probably a couple others from the committee on Wednesday.
Okay, and I thank you too, you and Linda, for helping out in this.
Hey, you know what? You're our neighbors. That's the way you make a place strong. You take care of each other. You know, you don't give things away. You know, but you help take care of each other, and you know, y'all take care of us. We take care of you.
Yeah, you help them out. You don't take advantage of them.
That's right.
Okay, thanks a lot, Carl.
Thank you. Okay, something happened. There was a bill introduced in Congress. Because one of the things we've talked about, and people have listened, is Fred is the only person I know that wants to put himself out of a job. Is why is Fred having to do all this and organizing all this when this is something the Veterans Administration should do, Department of Defense should do, is take care of our veterans. And there was a bill introduced. Right, Fred?
Yeah. As we were traveling through Indiana and Illinois on May 21st, a congressman from Ohio, Tiberi, introduced the Missing in America Act of 2009 to the Congress of the United States, which is a bill that asks the Department of Veterans Affairs to take over and be in charge of getting all veterans verified and set up a system, basically the system that we have in force right now. They've asked that they also fund to be able to pay for any veteran that doesn't have the money or the means to get buried, that they will pay for the burial and transportation to the nearest cemetery, and of course at the cemetery it's state or federal, so it's free. The second thing they did is, or the third thing that they're put in the bill, is that they're requiring the Department of Veterans Affairs to maintain a nationwide database. Now, right now the Missing in America Project, we fund a nationwide database. Every month of my volunteers that go out and go into a funeral home or find cremains on a shelf, man, woman, child, we enter into a national database, our own. And this law puts the responsibility for the government to maintain this database, make it open to the public, so that if you're looking for a long-lost relative, you can dial up and find that these on the shelf in Huntsville, Alabama, or Seattle, Washington. And this is a mandatory thing because, one, it's still going to take us to go into the funeral homes and read the data, get it entered into a database, but somebody needs to fund it and make sure we get through the Privacy Act laws and let it be available.
This should be something the Veterans Administration does. I mean, come on, these are honorably discharged veterans and their immediate families also, in some cases, and yet it's like our government is ignoring them. But since it's been brought to their attention, I hope that they pass this bill, and I hope they pass it quickly.
Well, we
somewhere
hope so.
Between stimulus A and stimulus Q.
You know, always the problem is when something is introduced, what arguments and what gets watered down to what the final bill is. But,
yeah.
You know, I can expect a lot less, but what they asked for was exactly what we wanted.
Great.
And on that note, I had a call Friday from one of our local representatives, Congressman Wally Herger.
Yes.
And he endorsed his support and said he will be a co-sponsor.
Well, you know, Wally, we appreciate this. You know, you got to come through for us. These are your people, Wally, that did this. You've got to push and you've got to fight, and you can't let it get watered down. Somewhere in there, with all the other crap that's being fed to us, this is something of honor. So, Congressman, we appreciate it. We applaud the fact that you're a co-sponsor and that you're going to push this. Because you know what? We're going to keep track of it, and we're going to make sure it happens. Oh, that's not a threat. I'm just saying that that's just the way it is, you know, because this is too important to let go by the wayside.
I think one other quick note, Carl, is
sure.
As we passed through Colorado, the state of Colorado passed, and a bill was signed the day we went through Colorado. Missouri also passed a law and signed it the day we went through Missouri. We have about 7 to 8 states now that officially have laws within each state allowing the same thing to happen that's being proposed at the national level.
Great.
And we have about 4 other states that we have memorandum of understandings that it hasn't got to a law yet, but they've all agreed from the state Veterans Affairs and other stuff to work with us to accomplish the same mission. So we're making progress. And I think part of the progress is that when you went to the services for those 3 gentlemen on May 29th, and we end up with the Secretary of the Army attending and hundreds of well-wishers, how can we be doing the wrong thing?
You're not doing the wrong thing. It's a wonderful thing you've done, and it's, you know, you're heroes. And you didn't do it for personal recognition. None of these people did. It's hard to even get them to appear or to talk about it. The only reason Fred is doing it is because I want him on here so we can tell our listeners and the people across America, you know, just what is, you know, this is one of the things that makes our part of our state, our North State, so great. But then with Roger and Dave the Indian, I had to put a gun on them and force them in here to be able to talk today. This is not what they do. They are doers. They're not talkers. So, okay, we got to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about a couple of the things that have to do with this and people leaving and the next steps. It's Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This is News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by New Image Studio. Do you have a pet? Are you a pet lover? Well, on Saturday, June 27th from 9 to 4, they're going to be taking pictures of you and your pet for $19. And if you bring a medium-sized can of dog food, they're going to give the cans of dog foods to another chance animal welfare shelter. So stop by and see them from 9 to 4 on Saturday, June 27th. Get a great picture taken. Go to our website, freefireradio.com. Check out the picture Carl and I have with our dog, Snooki. Now, on to more important things. Missing in America. Roger, you were ride captain. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I was.
You were right, Captain. I just think about what that must have been like to rally all these people. Give us just a little example of what it was to start the day.
Well, I pretty much lost my voice after about the 3rd day of yelling at the top of my lungs, and I had to have help. And I think that's all part of the structure of getting something like this together is having things structured enough to where you can delegate certain tasks and organizational things to people that are better at that than you. So where I was kind of the figurehead of it, I had a lot of help. And, I mean, like, for instance, my wife was a huge help. I mean, because, you know, I got a little bit of hearing problems and so forth. And
shout out to her, by the way.
Shout out to her, right. And, you know, so I think it's all about getting the right people to help you, key personnel where you need them, and then it makes command easier.
So what were some of the rules? I mean, you hear it like, you know, like Carl said, sometimes you can have a rebellious person here and there and kind of, you know, walk to their own beat. So you got to get everybody in line and they have to follow the rules. What were the rules?
Well, we had a lot of rules. One was if you break down or if you needed to pull over, you pull over, put your thumb up that you're okay, and we keep riding. Once you pull out of the pack, you're on your own. And everybody pretty much stuck to those rules because we didn't waver, we didn't bend. Our rules were set in stone, and those that did pull off or if they lagged behind, they got in the back of the group behind our chase rider, and they were on their own. Basically, if you want to catch up and be with us later, that's your choice. But that's the only way you can keep something like this together is by having a strict set of guidelines that we really didn't waver at all on.
Well, thank you for that. Was a very strong position to hold, and you did very well from what we saw day one, day two. Dave the Indian. I love the fact that you like to be called Dave the Indian, and that's cool. And so there was such a spiritual aspect beginning from Redding when – who was the guy who did the prayer?
And Pete.
Pete.
Crazy Pete.
Did he just, I was so moved. That began, I'm sure, for many that just were brought into another world, another realm. And this is what you said you've experienced through the country.
Actually, I want to just thank all the listeners in the North State for their support for this ride and for what we did. We thought it was an honor, and it was a great thing for us. We had many people praying for us beforehand and on the way. We had Christian people in the ceremonies, and then we had an indigenous person, Crazy Apache Pete, who is a good friend of ours and a writer, and could not join us for the ceremony, but he gave us a blessing before we left, and other people did also. But we had like 45 people on the whole trip from the core people from Reading to Arlington and back, 6,238,002 miles, like Fred said, who's counting? But no accidents, no problems with our core group, and what a wonderful thing, you know, to be able to come back and report mission accomplished. Thank you.
Well, you know what? We can't say how much we appreciate everything you've done, and America appreciates it. They may not know it, how much they owe you all, but they, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you've done something that's so great, and it's as unsung heroes. But, you know, that's why we've got you on here, because, you know, I'm ringing your praises to the top of the world. We got a break here. Got to come back tomorrow. But tomorrow we're going to be talking with Paul Hooser about Tank and REU. It's Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?